in 2020, you guys remember that year? Okay. I was walking into a Target, the store, not like a Target range thing, but I was walking into the store, Target. Target was and is still most certainly an essential business that needed to remain open no matter what, especially during the pandemic. As I was walking into the store, there was a man in a red hat, a particular red hat. He was exiting the store, conspicuously not wearing a mask. It's 2020. Now, the combo of that hat plus the lack of a mask would have been enough for me to identify the man's opinions, political identities, his thoughts about the pandemic. But just in case that wasn't enough, he gave another clue as we passed each other. I'm walking into the store, he's walking out. He was irritated. I could tell because I could see his whole face, not just his eyes. And with his eyes dramatically kind of rolling back, his facial expressions displaying some disdain, some contempt, he chose to cover the anger with severe sarcasm. And as he was walking out the door, as I was walking into Target, he yelled to himself, maybe to me, passing him by, maybe to anyone slash no one, he yelled this, "Sheep." I'm not sure who else heard. I heard him. I was right next to him, less than 6 feet away from him, strike number one. I definitely heard him, and I was the guy walking into Target with a mask on. He had the audacity to call me a sheep. The nerve. Did you guys have any experiences like this during the pandemic? Maybe you witnessed some, and maybe you were called a sheep too. Maybe, no judgment. Maybe you called someone a sheep. Maybe that was your jam. It's become an insult. Officially, the word sheeple, sheep plus people, is now in the dictionary. Merriam-Webster and Oxford put in there as docile, compliant, easily influenced. So if you somehow missed it over the last 4 years, 5 years, it's what people were called when they seemingly blindly followed what the government was asking its people to do with respect to the pandemic and the various protocols. People, so these insulters said, were docile and compliant to a fault, too easily influenced, not thinking for themselves. Here's the thing. That accurately actually describes the animal of sheep. They are docile and compliant, easily influenced. Another author described sheep as dumb, directionless, and defenseless. As far as livestock go, they are not the apex predator that maybe you thought that they were coming into this evening. According to this, I hate that I'm laughing about this already, I'm sorry. Tiffany's not here, we're gonna be okay. There's a BBC News article titled, "Turkish Sheep Die in Mass Jump." In 2005, I'm quoting, "Turkish shepherds watched in horror as hundreds of their sheep followed each other off over a cliff," say Turkish newspaper reports. "First, one sheep went over the cliff edge, only to be followed by the whole flock," according to the reports. More than 400 sheep died in the 15-meter fall, their bodies cushioning the fall of 1,100 others that followed. There are only three types of people in the world: people who think that's funny, people who don't, and then people who are not sure whether they are trying to suppress a laugh or a tear, maybe both. Docile, compliant, easily influenced, dumb, directionless, defenseless. Sheep will wander and get lost, sometimes to their death off a cliff. If a predator comes to get a little sheep snack, they have no defenses. They can't fight, they can't run fast, they don't have any scare tactics to warn off a predator. They are not resilient wild animals. They need help. Sheep actually, truly need a shepherd. Anyone here ever owned sheep? By chance, no? Okay, so you're gonna believe me, that's great. They need someone to guide them to safe pastures, to point out good food and water, someone to ward off and fight off predators, someone to maybe occasionally stop them from jumping off a cliff. I hope that you haven't been called a sheep by an angry MAGA man. But I have good news and bad news, I don't know. The Bible also calls you and me sheep. You are a sheep. Me too. It's not meant as an insult, though. It is a cold dose of reality. It's the gift of truth about what it means to be human. And it's a pervasive metaphor that's used throughout the entire Bible. Sheep is a word that describes you and me. I'll give you three quick examples in case you, for some reason, don't believe me. First, Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Isaiah 53 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." Lastly, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Implication, meaning I am his sheep, one of his sheep. There's this book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. You could read it in like an afternoon. It's very good, by an author named Philip Keller. He writes this: "It is no accident that God has chosen," let me tell you first, this guy is a pastor and an actual shepherd, like owns sheep. We're gonna quote from him later too, but he says, "It's no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways, as will be seen in further chapters. Our mass mind or mob instincts, the kind of thing that might make you follow other sheep off of a cliff. Our mass mind, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our pervasive habits are all parallels of profound importance. We are sheep." Say that to yourself: I am a sheep. When the Bible says this, that you are a sheep, I think what it primarily means is that you need a shepherd. Which is to say, we need leadership. We need guidance in our life. We not only benefit from leadership, but it's, in many cases, it's required for us, someone to show us the rope, someone to guide us, someone to teach us, to correct us. Whether it's parenting or your job or a hobby, anything that you do, just think of one area of your life, any area of your life that wouldn't be improved by having an excellent leader in it. Imagine like some perfect example of the leader who has no like self-interest. They just want to help you and they know how to help you. Think of one area of your life that wouldn't be helped by that. So if you got a job, if you work for someone else, you have a boss, I'm just going to assume that you may not have to think hard to come up with a few ways that your work or the work of your team or your department could be improved if you just had a better boss. Just go there with me for a second. Think about, or if you aren't working anymore, think about a time where you were. If this boss or leader just gave better instruction, inspired the team, listened more, was more organized or more communicative, cared about the people on the team as humans, it would probably help your team or help you as an employee. If you are the boss or the leader of a team or a business owner, I'd also bet that you can think of ways that better leadership would improve what you do, whether that's you bringing better leadership to those that work for you, or if you had like a business mentor to like come over you who knows exactly like your field and what you need and could show you how to become the best version of yourself. I really wish sometimes that I had a boss in my particular, right now, this season of my life, in my vocation as a pastor. Sometimes it would be really helpful. Sometimes it's nice not having a boss, though. I resonate deeply with Ryan Howard from The Office when he says, "I got away with everything under the last boss, and it wasn't good for me. So I want guidance. I want leadership. Lead me when I'm in the mood to be led." Which of us as parents right now, raising children, if you're just like in the throes of kids in the house, who wouldn't benefit from a wise sage who could come and just be in your life for a little bit and see you and your spouse and see your kids and just, what if they just knew exactly what each of your kids needed from you and could say, "Hey, you're doing great, but I've got some areas," and they could just show you how to do it well. Now, not all leadership is good, I know this, but good leadership is a thing to behold. So just think for a moment, have you experienced really good leadership at any point in your life? Where someone cared about you enough as a person to see maybe what you couldn't see, and to lovingly and firmly and clearly point out what you needed to do or what you needed to change, to show you the way, someone that believed in you and helped you succeed. It's a beautiful thing when someone doesn't need to do the thing themselves, but are just interested in helping you become the best version of yourself, maybe leading you to do something that you might not otherwise do without their leadership. Someone that just empowers you with a vision of what's possible. I think maybe the best image of near perfect leadership comes from the greatest sports movie of all time. There is no question. Remember the Titans. Coach Boone said at this Gettysburg Cemetery, when the team was about to just fall apart, you know, as a crux for them, 50,000 men died right here on this field fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. If we don't come together right now on this hallowed ground, we too will be destroyed just like they were. You guys remember that moment? Come on. That coach saw what those kids couldn't, that their moment was much bigger than football, but that actually through football, through mutual respect and good teamwork as a football team, that they might actually go down the path of healing a very broken world. He saw what they couldn't, and he led them where they wouldn't go otherwise. Man, if there is an area of our lives, an area of my life, where I know for sure I need someone to show me how to do this, it is in my relationship with Jesus, becoming a man of character who follows Jesus. I just need help. I hope, I'm trusting that you resonate with that. It's built into the language of how we just, what it means to be a Christian, which is that we're called disciples. That's an apprentice of a master. That's a student of a teacher. It is inherently a follower of a leader. Now, maybe it's obvious, that's obvious or self-evident to you, but we just don't do well without leadership in our life as people who would follow Jesus. I don't do well without the help of a shepherd. And I think that this lies at the heart of what it means when the Bible calls us sheep, that we need a shepherd. The hymn, Come Thou Fount, says we are prone to wander. Do you feel that in your being? If I take my hands off the wheel, I am not just gonna like naturally keep following Jesus, I'm going to drift to the right or to the left. My alignment is off. When it comes to following Jesus, we just don't naturally know what to do. We require help and guidance and direction. I've been following Jesus, I would say, seriously, intentionally, since I was 19. I think I've been a believer in Jesus for much longer than that, since I was a kid. But 19 and on, my life is about him. I went to Bible college and seminary. I've had many and have many pastors and mentors and leaders. I've had seasons with active shepherds in my life, people that I was actively seeking out to help me. And I've had seasons without, long seasons without. And I am 100% certain that I do not naturally follow Jesus. I don't just wake up in the morning knowing what to do. I'm also 100% certain that I do naturally drift and wander. And I would wander right off a cliff like those sheep were it not for a shepherd. So, if you're just willing to reflect, do you know this to be true about yourself too? Do you recognize your need for a shepherd when it comes to your life with Jesus or your spiritual journey trying to figure out what you believe, that you need guidance? When you think about your life right now, your life as one who is following Jesus, do you recognize that you need someone outside of you, outside of your mind and your thoughts, who can see you? That it could be helpful to submit to someone who may actually know what you need more than you do. Someone who might be wiser than you and could lead you to a good, flourishing life. Do you see how maybe it wouldn't just be beneficial, but maybe actually that you are in desperate need of leadership and guidance from a shepherd? Right now, in this moment, as I see you in this seat, are you exactly where you want to be in your relationship with Jesus? If you kept doing all the things that you're doing right now, think about the last week, the last month, the last year, your habits and your trajectory, would you be really happy? Do you think Jesus would be proud of where you would end up in 5, 10, 20 years? You are a sheep. I am a sheep. We need a shepherd. And the shepherd that you really need is not me, but it is Jesus. Jesus is the true shepherd that we need. And over the coming weeks, the next 3 weeks, I'm going to talk about where I think God is leading Valley in terms of its leadership, what it means to have pastors and what my role is. But the whole thing is very firmly rooted in and based on the fact that you're a sheep, I'm a sheep, we need a shepherd, and that shepherd is Jesus. He is the one that all of us are trying to follow and to be led by. And let me tell you, he is a very good shepherd. I have two verses from John and one psalm that we're going to read to look at this that describe the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 10. This is verse 11, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. As your shepherd, Jesus has laid down his life to protect you and to save you." Sheep need a shepherd who's willing to protect them from harm. This chapter of John talks about common threats to sheep, which are predators, and then thieves who would come and take them. People that would come to destroy or steal the sheep. And Jesus, he's the shepherd that sacrificed himself for you to protect and to save you. This metaphor, when Jesus calls himself a shepherd who laid down his life, it means a couple things that are wild and important. One, there are very real threats to your life. As a human, there are threats to your life. Jesus says in this chapter earlier that the thief, our enemy, comes to steal and kill and destroy. He's not playing a game. He's not trying to make your life a little worse. He means to end you, make you crumble, rob you of all joy and flourishing, and end your life. We have a very real enemy, and Jesus has laid down his life to protect us from him. And this means, the second thing in this metaphor, it establishes how valuable you are to Jesus. I don't know if in this time when Jesus said this, or if today, that a shepherd would actually lay down his life for a sheep. But you are not just another part of the flock, one of dozens or hundreds of sheep. You are particularly precious and valuable to Jesus. You alone are worth the sacrifice that he made. He laid down his life for you. That's the first thing that describes our good shepherd. The second thing, John 10, verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Jesus knows you better than you know yourself, better than whoever in this life you think knows you best. He knows them. He knows you better. And you can know him. Earlier in this chapter, if it's been a while since you've read it, read the whole thing, like slowly and intentionally, and just drink it in. It's beautiful. Earlier in this chapter, in verses 3 and 4, says that Jesus calls us his sheep by name. We are named sheep, not just a number, not just a brand. He has named us. He's a tender shepherd. He knows our name, and we can follow him because we actually know what his voice sounds like. Now, this is something that sheep can actually do. They can not only recognize the face of their shepherd, but they know the voice of the one that leads them. And Jesus is the kind of shepherd that names us and that recognizes that we are each special and valuable to him. And we have this promise here in John 10 that Jesus has a recognizable voice, that those of us who belong to him know his voice and could distinguish it from amongst other voices and pick it out from a crowd so that we could follow him. I believe that we recognize his voice in Scripture, in God's word for us, but also through the Holy Spirit who's inside of us, who speaks to us. There are many things in this life that promise safe and green pastures. And when we follow those voices, maybe we find that we've been led into danger or into a desolate place that does not sustain life. But the sheep of Jesus' pasture know his voice, and we know that his voice leads to life. One more passage that describes the kind of shepherd that Jesus is for us. This is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Jesus is the kind of shepherd that provides literally everything that we need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads us to places where we can be nourished, satisfied, and rested. Verse 3, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. He keeps us safe and can keep us on the right path. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when life takes us into seasons that are dark and difficult, he is with us, and he has the means and desire to protect us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Jesus can provide a feast for you in this life, even when the enemy is trying to steal and kill and destroy. And finally, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, as our shepherd, promises to be with us in every moment, that he will keep us in his flock by his side for all of our days and bless us with goodness and steadfast, loyal love. That's the kind of shepherd he is. He lays down his life. He knows us by name. He has a voice that we can recognize, provides everything that we need, leads us to places that we can be nourished and satisfied and rested. He keeps us safe, even when we're in seasons that literally feel and look like hell, when the enemy is trying to destroy us and to steal joy and kill what we have. Jesus promises to be with us and give us loyal love. So you are a sheep. You need a shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd, and he's very good at what he does. And so I think what we should do is let him lead us. Let him be our shepherd. So that's the question that we're just going to reflect on for a little bit. If I've ever asked you to think about your life, I'm doing it right now. Is Jesus leading you? How would you know if he was? Or how would you know if someone or something else was leading you? Who or what is giving you a picture of the good life? Who's describing the scenario and the setting where humans flourish and are happy? Who's describing that for you, and you're buying it and you're going, yep, you know what's good and I'm following what you're saying? Green pastures, quiet waters, lacking nothing, being protected by a shepherd, that's the good life for a sheep. The shepherd knows what the sheep need, and he can lead them to a place where they can get it. But a lot of people are promising that for us, green pastures, quiet waters. And I think there's a test we could run through to think about this, to think, is Jesus my shepherd, or is something else? And it's to look at Psalm 23 in the inverse or the opposite. So just go there with me. We're gonna look at just a few lines from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Is there a voice in your world, maybe a real voice, some type of influencer or a person or an idea that is attempting to shepherd you toward the good life, and what that voice is saying is that you don't have what you need? Are you hearing that message somewhere, that you don't have what you need? Is there a shepherd, an influence in your life saying, here's what you need, what you need to do, what you need to get, what you need to earn, what you need to acquire. Do this, this, and that, and then you'll have everything that you need. If someone or something is putting that idea into your soul, causing you to say, I don't have what I need, it is a shepherd that is not Jesus. Jesus' sheep can say, with Jesus as my shepherd, I lack nothing. I have everything that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and refreshes my soul. If you are eating but still hungry, drinking but still thirsty, or have arrived at a place that is supposed to have given you rest and you find yourself restless still, you may have been led by a false shepherd. If there was a voice saying, here's what you need, and then you followed it and you said, yeah, I do need that, and I'm gonna go get it, and then you got it. But once you got there, you find that it was overpromised and underdelivered. Whether that's your job, your income, your marriage, your kids, the next phase of life, if I could just get here. If you got there and you're still hungry, thirsty, or restless, it was a false shepherd. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. If something is leading you in your life to lift up any name besides the name of Jesus as your banner for your life, it's not Jesus who's the shepherd. If you're being led or inspired to make your name great, your family's name great, if your life is built around making something of yourself, it's not Jesus who's leading you there. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, if there is some voice telling you that life shouldn't be this hard, that you should be more put together, that you shouldn't have to suffer or go through trials or confront evil, it's a lie and it's a false shepherd. Our shepherd is with us through those things. He promises not just that we will walk through them, that he'll be with us and that we can trust him to take care of us in the midst of those times. That author, Philip Keller, describes a neighboring group of sheep to his. As winter with its cold rains and chilling winds came on, my neighbor's sickly sheep would stand huddled at the fence, their tails to the storm, facing the rich fields in which my flock flourished. Those poor, abused, neglected creatures under the ownership of a heartless rancher had known nothing but suffering most of the year. With them, there had been gnawing hunger all summer. They were thin and sickly with disease and scab and parasites. Tormented by flies and attacked by predators, some were so weak and thin and wretched that their thin legs could scarcely bear their scanty frames. Always, there seemed to lurk in their eyes the slender, faint hope that perhaps with a bit of luck, they could break through the fence or crawl through some hole to free themselves. Do you ever feel like a sick, tired sheep staring through a fence at another greener, better pasture? Jesus is inviting you to return to his fold and find nourishment and rest. This is the one scenario where the grass is greener on the other side. If you feel like you're just suffering, struggling, or suffocating under the disappointing weight of a false shepherd, Jesus offers a better way. And so follow him. Life in his flock is better. Are you tired? Tired of being overpromised and then underwhelmed by what this world has to offer? Tired of feeling like you never have enough? So I invite you, and I'm reminding myself as I say this, to once again come under the loving leadership and brilliant shepherding of Jesus. He knows what we need, and he will lead us to green pastures and quiet waters and refresh us. He's the only one who can. And so as we close, I just want us to meditate on the first line of this Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And so what I mean for meditation in this moment is that I'm asking you to repeat it over and over again under your breath. So you don't have to say it super out loud, but there should be a physical element to you saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And as you do it repeatedly, I encourage you to emphasize one word at a time. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so on through this line. And I'm hoping that as we do it, the Spirit of God would supernaturally allow it to sink into our souls. And so as you do it, would you allow the Lord, your shepherd, to also highlight for you the other shepherds or influences or ideas that have been trying to lead you? And I encourage you to just renounce them. Lord, that influence, that's not my shepherd, you are. So let's do that. Just under your breath, we're going to worship in just a minute. The Lord is my shepherd.